I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
HD Smartcast.
You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Welcome to A View from the Stands, a podcast series in which we discuss the new normal in the world of sports. I'm Aditya Iyer, and with me is the national sports editor of HD, Rudraneel Sengupta.
Been bowling good Yorkers. And he's gone down the ground. I think it's massive. He has cleared it. That is a phenomenal hit from Dhoni.
MS Dhoni has retired from international cricket. And by now, you must have read the tributes and relived his tremendous career in your own way. In this episode, Rudra and I are going to try and do just that. Relive his career in a most personal way. And in turn, try something different from our usual podcasts. We too are going to reminisce Dhoni by picking a few moments that stood out from his career. These moments may be from his stroke play or reflexes behind the stumps or something he said to us before or during a press conference. All bets are off in terms of how we went about choosing these very Dhoni moments. There is, however, one disclaimer. Each of these moments we're going to talk about comes from a very personal place. So without further ado, I'll let my co-host get things underway.
Thank you, Aditya. Yes, all bets are off and very personal. That's exactly right. Because, of course, you know, everything about Dhoni is known. Everybody knows everything about him. You've got a whole movie about him and reels and reams have been written on him. And, you know, you know exactly what he did behind the stumps, how he improvised, how good his stumpings were, how he was the coolest chaser in the game, you know, and this helicopter shot. And, of course, his captaincy, which was, you know, really, he was one of the best readers of the game. One of the best strategic minds that you can imagine, and certainly one of the best captains that India has had, and I would say one of the best captains that the world has seen, at least in the limited overs formats. And I am a Bengali, so I'm saying this at the risk of me getting lynched, that I would pick Dhoni over Ganguly as my favorite captain of the Indian team. And amazing career.
Yeah, absolutely. So the moment I want to talk about also is a reflection of his captaincy, but these are his very early days. In fact, he isn't even a full-time test captain for India at this point. I'm talking about Australia's test series in India in 2008. So Kumble was India's full-time test captain. He's captained India to a draw in the first test in Bangalore and injured himself. So Dhoni is standing in for Kumble in the second test in Mohali. We're going to see just how effective Dhoni is going to be in these conditions with the kind of spinners we need, the kind of pitches we need to like pull off like incredible wins. Because the Mohali test in which he stood in for Kumble, he's going to win. And he's also going to win in Nagpur, where both Kumble and Ganguly retired. But at this point in Mohali, the guy replacing Kumble was a debutant in Amit Mishra, like-for-like replacement in two leg spinners. India have batted first, put on a very decent total on the board, and the only resistance from the Australian batting is Shane Watson. I must add that Dhoni himself made a 90 in the first innings, for which he will go on to get his Man of the Match award for this test match. But a lot of people also think it was due to his captaincy. And the big moment came when Mishra's trying to dismiss Shane Watson, because Watson is the only guy who's gone past 50. So Dhoni tells Mishra to pitch the ball in a particular place. And you can hear this on the television where he says, yahan pe dal, Mishi, yahan pe dal. And Mishra does not pitch the ball there. So what does Dhoni do? And just remember, he's not a full-time captain yet. He right. walks out onto the pitch, stops Mishra from bowling a ball halfway through, steps out onto the pitch, stands with his feet together on the spot where he wanted the ball to be pitched, and with his big gloves pointed there and said, yahan pe, yahan pe. And then walked back with the slips holding their stomachs in laughter. Shane Watson giggling to himself. Our short leg fielder looking at Mishi and shaking his head. And Mishi like saying absolutely nothing about it. He walked back. But yeah, I mean, that's what made Dhoni who he was, really. Because like he didn't fear too many situations. And he didn't mind being, you know, his unique self when it came to doing things.
Oh, yes. And he had quite the unique vocabulary as well as a real gift for comic timing, I have to say. I mean, and a lot of the behind the stumps banter, whenever it could be heard, you know, I mean, it was so entertaining. I mean, you remember his word for the Dusra was Tarak Mehta from the Tarak Mehta Ka Ulta Chashma TV series. I would crack up every time I heard him say Tarak Mehta Ko Dalte Rahe. And he brought that, you know, and he was such a confident person that he really didn't show you different facets of himself, whether he was just a player or just a captain or whether he was bantering with his bowlers from behind the stumps or whether he was sitting at the press conference. It was always MS Dhoni, right? And yep. It was always his unique brand of how he spoke. And he said some amazing stuff. I mean, of course, a large part of his later career, he spent avoiding the press and not really talking. And he didn't really like to come to press conferences anymore. And, you know, there was some rift there that happened. But when he did speak, it was quite amazing. Some of his quotes are incredible. I remember one about the team going to Auckland, I think, a day later Napier. Than they were supposed to. Napier, yes. Napier. From Auckland, they were going to Napier. And he was asked at a press conference if the team could adjust in time. And he said, the mind doesn't know if it's Napier or what you're feeding it. You come and say this is Napier, it believes it is Napier. And I cracked up. I mean, who says this kind of stuff at press conferences? And the thing is, you know, it's not just a joke. If you really think about it, that's some deep thinking over there, because it's actually true. You know, your mind really tells you. I mean, you can tell your mind to tell you something, and that's what it is, right? I mean, you can adjust to situations. That's how you adjust. And that's what he was trying to say in his very Zen Buddhist kind of quote.
Absolutely. And, you know, he didn't go on to play that test match. So Sehwag stood in for him in Napier. And I think we won that test, if I'm not mistaken. No, it could have been a draw because we won the first test in Hamilton, after which they went to celebrate in Auckland. And then followed up by this absolutely bizarre press conference in Napier. I mean, you can have books written on just Dhoni that day in that press conference. That was, of course, his more cryptic end. But I've seen Dhoni being so sincere in press conferences. It's unbelievable, right? So the story, the moment that I've picked is, in fact, from 2011, a couple of months before the World Cup campaign in India or in the subcontinent began, a World Cup that he was going to win. But this is the last ODI series that India played leading up to the World Cup. And we've lost the first match in Durban. We've won the second match in Johannesburg, a real thriller. And now it's a day before the third match in Cape Town. And we're all at the press conference. And the journalist sitting next to me, an absolute veteran of a journalist, stops Dhoni when he says that, you know, not just because of the first two matches, but I generally like to bat first in day-night games because, and remember, in both those matches, the team batting first had won. So he said, not just because of that, but I also like to bat first because, you know, I like to give my bowlers a little bit because the ball tends to do a little bit under the floodlights. And this veteran journalist stopped Dhoni there and said, you know, MS, sorry, I just want to stop you there. Why do you say that? Can you explain the logic behind or the physics behind the ball swinging a little more under lights, because we don't get this, right? And MS looks at him and smiles and says, actually, you know what, to be honest, even I don't get it. It's just that when I was a kid, I used to hear the commentators say it all the time. And then I started reading in newspapers where you guys used to write this. So that's what I picked it up from. But good point, because I want to go and check if this actually is a thing or no.
Oh my God. I mean, this is Dhoni, right? Quintessential. I mean, he's not going to faff around. He's not going to say, I know, when he doesn't know. And he's going to be blunt about it. And I love that about him. And he really has a way with words. And there's this great quote from this fabulous interview, that one of the very, very few interviews that Dhoni has ever given. And this was, I think, in 2018 or so that he gave this interview, where there's this quote that stood out for me as kind of like the origin story of Dhoni as told by Dhoni. Right? And I'll tell you what it is. The reporter actually asked him about his collection of motorbikes. And he has a large collection, right? 35 or so bikes. And he said, I quote, "I love them all. Expensive, cheap, old, and new. I have a Harley Fat Boy, a Ducati Pantab, a Hellcat, a Confederate motorcycle from the US, some ancient two strokes, Triumphs, even an old BSA. Journalists ask him, "Do you ride them hard?" And he says, "Not really. Well, sometimes, but actually, I like to polish them. I'll tell you a story." And he says, "I'll tell you a story. When I was a boy, one of our senior players used to position his beautiful bike behind me and then hit balls for me to catch. If I missed one and if he hit the bike, I had to fix up that mark. Therefore, I learned not to miss many balls. And ever since, I have been either polishing bikes or trying to cling on to catches. Pretty much, that's all I do."
That is just fabulous. That's absolutely fabulous. This explains where he comes from. You know, all of it, right? Like, just puts Dhoni's early days in perspective.
Really does. And this is a man who, amazing story is that in 2002, he was a ticket examiner with the Indian Railways, and he went for the selection for the Railways team, and he was not picked.
Yeah. I mean, this is a story that is not first-hand information. Right. When I heard it for the first time. But yeah, the story goes that J.P. Yadav, the great Railways all-rounder, who also played for India a little bit in the late 90s and early 2000s, was a good friend of Dhoni's. You know, Dhoni basically asks him if he could try out with the Railways. And Yadav, being a fan of Dhoni, you know, and what Dhoni could possibly do with the bat, agrees to set up a trial at Karnail Singh Stadium, which is the Railway's home ground in Delhi, very close to the New Delhi Railway Station. Right. And apparently Dhoni goes there, and you know, Dhoni was never easy on the eyes, man. Like, he wasn't easy to watch for people who are really into the technical side of the game, right? Like, often he looked like he was chopping wood with an axe. Like, you know, he's been described that way.
Yeah, it was all he was completely self-taught, really. I mean, so his technique was his own.
Exactly. Yep. So apparently this coach, and without going to names here, did not like what he saw. And Dhoni, of course, as you already know, never did play for Railways, right? That was because this didn't go down too well. But apparently many years later, after Dhoni had got a test 100 at the Brabourne Stadium, ran into this coach at the tea break while he was drying his pads and his gloves. And on his way up, he saw the coach, and instead of going into the dressing room, he walked towards the coach and in the most Dhoni possible way asked him. And in fact, yeah, he didn't tell him. He saw the coach. The coach was very happy to see Dhoni. And Dhoni was like, "I hope my feet are moving well now. I hope, you know, like, there isn't a big gap between my bat and pad and everything's okay." And this is the captain of the Indian team batting on some 100 plus, you know, having led us score to this absolutely mammoth total because of the other end, Sehwag was going like bonkers. Yeah, that's a Dhoni story too. But like, again, there's very little, like, I can't verify it, right? But it sounds like it possibly happened.
Well, it sounds very much like Dhoni. And sometimes he has that slight instinct for putting down another person, or almost kind of a little bit of a revenge kind of thing, which for example, is one of the things I did not like that he did at the press conference, was called that Australian journalist over when he was asked about his retirement during the 2016 T20 World Cup, where he, you know, you remember that incident where he got the journalist up and he said, you know, do you have a brother?
He had a smile in his face. And, you know,
of course, he had a smile.
But, joking about it.
He was. But it was a little abrasive. It was maybe not something he should have done.
Sorry?
Are you keen to continue playing on after this tournament?
Come here. Let's have some fun. Please come here. Come. Seriously.
You want me out there?
Yeah, come. Okay.
Hello, sir.
You want me to retire?
No, well, okay. I just want to ask you.
I was hoping it was a Indian media guy, but you know, because I can't really say if you have a brother or a son who can play for India or is a wicketkeeper.
Sure,
do you think I'm unfit?
No.
Looking at me running?
Very fast.
You think I can survive till the 2019 World Cup?
Sure. Yes, sure.
Then you have answered the question.
Thank you, sir.
Leaving that aside, you know, there's always some things that rub people the wrong way. I suppose that was what did it for me. But you know, this is a guy who's otherwise nerveless. Like on the cricket field, he had no nerves. He just saw it ball by ball, you know, one ball at a time. He knew what to do. And he never really lost his cool ever on the cricket field.
Yes. So one of the best illustrations of that actually came from an ODI that's not known so much for Dhoni, but more for Tendulkar. I'm, of course, talking about the ODI against South Africa in 2010 in Gwalior, where Tendulkar became the first ever batsman in one-day cricket to hit a double hundred. But what really stood out for me was Dhoni's contribution right at the very end of that innings. Because, you know, Tendulkar had gone past Anwar's record of 194 in the 45th over. So basically 30 balls left and Tendulkar was batting on 196 and he was tiring and he was cramping and he wasn't scoring very quickly. And it took a man of Dhoni's courage to basically keep strike while Tendulkar and India and the world were basically egging one man on to get to his double hundred. And Dhoni was more than happy to kind of like take the pressure of not giving that one man the strike and going for it. Like, you know, he exploded. Like he was whacking stain here and there. But for once, nobody cared. Like everyone just wanted Tendulkar to have the strike. At the end of the 47th over, he steals the strike with a single to keep strike for the 48th. Okay. He gives Tendulkar one ball there. Tendulkar moves from 198 to 199. He plays out the rest of the 48th over, takes a single last ball, plays out all of the 49th over, where he hits Stain for like a couple of sixes, a couple of fours, and steals the strike, last ball. First ball of the 50th over, he hits a six. Second ball, he takes a single. And now Tendulkar has the strike to move from 199 to 200, which he does. Gives the strike back to Dhoni. And Dhoni hits a four, a dot, and a four. So basically, out of the last 30 balls of the innings, an innings known for Tendulkar's double hundred, Dhoni faced 25 of them and took India past 400, which no one remembers anymore. Or the fact that he went from 30 of 25 balls to 68 of 30 balls or 35 balls or whatever it was. Nobody cares. But Dhoni put the team's interest there first. And now this takes balls of steel. I'm sorry. There is no other way to describe this.
No. It's balls of steel. And it's also like, you know, in a way you can see how much he thinks about and the confidence he has to be generous with what he is doing. Because some of this is also generosity. He wants Tendulkar to kind of get his rest so that he's not too fatigued when he comes in. And, you know, he knows that Tendulkar is going to get that one run. Right.
I know you're being kind, but I honestly think that was not the case. I think he was just like, you know, see, Dhoni's always had this very itchy relationship with the seniors, right? Like in 2012 in the CBC series, for example, he was very happy to see Tendulkar's fielding, especially in the outfield, wasn't up to the mark. And he said, Tendulkar, Gambhir, and Sehwag, these three are all giants of the game, but they're also seniors, is how he put them. And we can only play two out of three because there are vast boundaries in Australia. And if we play all three of these seniors together, we're going to leak more runs. Now, this became quite controversial. But Dhoni really, like, didn't care when he was calling a spade a spade. And I think the with the Tendulkar 200 too, with respect to that, it was just the same. He was just like, I have to do this. I'm the captain of this team. I'm going to get our team to 400 and ensure we don't lose. And hope that that legend scores this two runs in the next five balls in the remaining 30 that I give him.
No. I think to be a good captain, to be a good leader, you need to be able to have that healthy amount of irreverence towards concepts like seniors and legends and things like that. Because at the end of the day, they are just players in your team, right? If you don't have the confidence to see that and to be able to handle that, then I don't know if you will make a great captain. And Dhoni had that. But he was a really generous captain as well. I mean, for example, he established the tradition of handing the winner's trophy to the newest member of the squad. It's something that we still do. Indian cricket still does. But this was started by Dhoni. And I remember that during the World Cup in Australia, New Zealand in 2015, the internal flights had limited business class seats, and inevitably Dhoni would have one of the business class seats, and inevitably he would give it up to one of his taller fast bowlers because they needed more leg room, you know. And that's he would go into his economy class and said, no problem, you know, there's no chip on his shoulder that he's the captain and stuff. He was just doing what he thought was the right thing to do. And I find that a lot about that his personal life also, you know, there's a lot of that happening. And I like the fact, for example, that he's a big animal lover. And you know, if you look at his, of course, we don't know much about his personal life, but we can see some of his personal glimpses of that from his from the Instagram account that is in the name of his daughter. And in that, you will see that, you know, there's birds being rescued by Dhoni and his daughter and being nursed back to health. There are chameleons that are being rescued and being nursed back to health and released into the wild. And of course, he has his four dogs and, you know, they're always running around and playing. And that really gives me a sense of who he is as a person. And I find that a wonderful thing. But I'm also an animal lover. And I think my most personal encounter with Dhoni was actually on dogs. And this is a story I've never told anybody, but about 10 years back, see, my wife and I, we are parents to five dogs. 10 years back, it was three dogs. And we had the opportunity to meet Dhoni at a friend's place. I will not name the friend, but Dhoni was there for dinner and we were all called, and I had gone, and my wife and I, we both had gone. And, you know, we were sitting and we were chatting, and we talk turned to the fact that we have three dogs at home. And Dhoni said he would like to meet them. And so we rushed back. We were very close to home.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we were very close to home. So we rushed back. We got all our three dogs back. And our dogs were very happy with Dhoni. You know, they really loved him. He had a real way with them. So he spent a lot of that time in the dinner basically chatting to the dogs and petting them and playing with them. And our biggest dog, he's the big alpha male of the family. He shows his appreciation. If he really likes you, what he would like to do is to sit on your foot. Don't ask me why. And for about an hour that evening, our biggest dog was sitting on Dhoni's foot. And, you know, I was glad that he did not have a game the next day.
Oh, that's absolutely excellent. And thanks for sharing that one for us. There are obviously many, many, many tales of Dhoni's generosity on and off the field, right? But I want to come back to just two of them on the field, and this is how we'll call it a wrap. Both these moments should have been Dhoni's in the limelight, but he chose to be really down to earth about both of them. The first one was, of course, in the series where he was named India's full-time test captain. It's the same one that we started with. Kumble basically had broken a finger and retired in the Delhi test against Australia in 2008. That was the third test. And then the fourth test, Ganguly called it a day. So in the last few overs before India won the test match against Australia in Nagpur, he allowed Ganguly to be captain again. And once the series was over and the Border Gavaskar trophy was given to him, he made sure that Kumble collected it. Now, this really shows who Dhoni was as a person. And I can see why he was the way he was when you met him with your dogs, right? Like, there is something just about the person where he tells you that he's basically a human being, like, who is infiltrated, like, this world in which, like, superstars thrive. And he's not right. one, even though he is one. He doesn't... He wears it very, very casually on his shoulders, right? Like, right. for example, and this is my final point, which is in 2011, after that famous six against Kulasekara gave India the first World Cup in 28 years or whatever, like, you know, he was king of the world and everything was... Basically, this was... Dhoni had won the man of the match in the final, had won India the trophy, was right. on par with Kapil Dev at this point. And, you know... At the same time, they were charioting Tendulkar around the ground. And what really stood out for me was I was standing by the edge of the boundary rope and just watching all these guys. Like, everybody wanted to be in the limelight, right? Everybody. We just won a World Cup and you can't really blame them. There right. Dhoni was at the back of the pack that was doing this lap of honor for Tendulkar and then later for the trophy, with one hand around like some support staff guy's shoulder, talking about like God knows what, letting everybody else like have the limelight but himself, right? He's the guy who scored 91 not out. He's the guy who's given India the trophy. But no, he's that guy who, when he meets a person he's never met before, says, you know, so you have three dogs. Why don't you bring him over?
Amazing. Yeah. That's exactly what... I think
that's what we'll miss in him more than absolutely anything else, right?
Correct. That's the Dhoni we will miss.
That's the Dhoni we will miss and remember. Yes.
That is a phenomenal run, Chase. A well played India. Well played, the skipper.
Yeah, he's one of the great players in pressure situations. There's no doubt about that.
This was an episode of A View from the Stands. Do like and follow us on at HT Smartcast on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, or write to us on podcasts@hindustantimes.com. You can listen to more podcasts by logging on to htsmartcast.com.
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.